to episode 33. And we are on Numbers chapter 7. Numbers season 2, chapter 7. This chapter might be, well, okay, nothing's ever going to be worse than the description of building the tabernacle. So whenever I say, like, you know, this is the worst this ever, in the back of my mind, I mean, you know, not counting that, those, like, 2 or 4 or 8 chapters where they described the tabernacle. So when I say, like, you know, like, this was the worst sandwich ever, I mean the worst sandwich since those 2 chapters where God talked about the tabernacle. Or if I say, like, Hitler was the worst, you know, friend ever, I mean Hitler was the worst friend since those 2 chapters where we had to read about it. There's nothing I could think of that's worse than those 2 chapters. So, all that being said, this chapter is the worst chapter, bar none. It's the longest chapter, I think. 89 verses or so. I don't think we've had one longer than that. And you'll never believe this. You'll never believe this. But it's a little repetitive. I know. So, I guess I'll read through it just to say I did, but nothing happens. Ah, here we go. And it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the houses of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, were over them that were numbered, offered. And they brought their offering before the Lord, 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox. And they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. And that's just what we needed, is more crap cluttering up the tabernacle. We already have like 20,000 people who are in charge of it. And now we have like all these oxen, like, and wagons and stuff for more. God's like, yes, more. God's really like, as a manager, he sort of hands off. He doesn't really understand what's going on. Maybe it's one of those things where the workers are always like, oh man, we're overworked, you know, cause they always say that, you know, they'll always come, oh, there's too much work here. So God's like, oh, all right, 10,000 more men to tend to the tabernacle. Really, it would probably take like 2 guys working part time, really. And like a hammer. But no, they get 20, 30,000 men and they're still complaining just cause that's how people are. And so they get all these oxen and these wagons. I'm sure they're just sitting there doing nothing, collecting dust. You know, there's no real, well, unless people are using them for, you know, business on the side, you know, which would at least be something. But no, there's no way they need all that crap for one stupid tabernacle. Maybe I'm misunderstanding what the tabernacle is, but that would be hard to do since I've read in depth on exactly how it's constructed and what it's made of. So I think I understand it. Anyway, and 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari, according unto their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders. And the princes offered for dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed. Even the princes offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar. And he that offered his offering first, the first day, was Nashon, the son of Amminadab, of the tribe of Judah. And his offering was 1 silver charger, Verizon phone charger. The weight that it wasn't compatible with anything, so they couldn't do anything with it. The weight thereof was 130 shekels. It was a heavier charger. One silver bowl of 70 shekels. Shekels were worthless, but the silver bowl was really worthwhile. After the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them were full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. So, that's weird. So they're like bowls of money, but they're also full of fine flour. Oh, I guess, you know, they didn't have germ theory of disease back then, so maybe they just mixed in the flour with the money. Ugh, it's disgusting. One spoon of 10 shekels of gold, full of incense. One young bullock, one ram, one lamb of the first year for a burnt offering. One kid of the goats for a sin offering. And for a sacrifice of peace offerings. 2 oxen, 5 ram, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nashon, the son of Achmedinejad. On the second day, Nathaniel, the son of Zuar, prince of Issachar, did offer. He offered for his offering 1 silver charger. The weight thereof was 130 shekels. 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. 1 spoon of gold of 10 shekels full of incense. 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb for the first year of the first year for a burnt offering. 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering and a 4 sacrifice of peace offerings to round it all off. 2 oxen, 5 rams, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Nathaniel, son of Zuar. It's all very good. On the third day, Eliab, the son of Helon, prince of the children of Zebulun, did offer. His offering was of 1 silver charger. And at this point, they're like, we don't have anything to charge, considering, you know, we don't have electricity yet. But even still, I mean, even if we say we're running on electricity or phones or whatever needs charging, you've already given us 2. Like, how many? What? Why do you keep giving us the exact same thing? And 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels. Well, they appreciated the shekels, that's for sure. After the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering. 1 golden spoon of 10 shekels. 1 full of incense. 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering, and 4 sacrifice of peace offerings, 2 oxen, 5 ram, 5 he-goats, 5 lambs of the first year. This was the offering of Eliab, son of Helon. On the fourth day, Eluzur, the son of Shedur, prince of the children of Reuben, did offer. His offering, just wait till you hear what he offered. 1 silver charger of the weight of 130 shekels. Now, if you're all going to get him the same gift of a charger, at least get ones that weigh different amounts. I assume that's how they adapt into whatever you're charging. I mean, get a 150 shekel charger. 1 silver bowl of 70 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, both of them full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering.
It's coming again. The yawning.
The yawning starts once it gets like this. It's just a reaction. 1 golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense. 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb of the first year and for a burnt offering. And you know, this is kind of funny. Well, funny to me. I don't expect it to be funny to you at all. Probably hate it. But no, I was looking at the commentary, which I always do, which the site I look at has like a single verse. It has like each verse, and then underneath that it has any you know, pertinent commentary. And I click through each verse in that manner to see what's said about it. And normally I go through the whole reading like that just to make sure I don't miss anything. But this one was so bad, and I could already tell it was worthless, although I hadn't read enough to know exactly what it was doing, but I was like, this is terrible. So I skipped through to like 81, just picked at random. I was like, let me skip to the end, see if anything happens by the end. And I clicked it and nothing happened. And I was like, what? It said that the same verse was sitting there. Which was 1 young bullock, 1 ram, 1 lamb for the first year, and 1 for a burnt offering, which I just read. That was the one I was on. I skipped to 81. Nothing changed. Then I realized, wait a minute, it does say verse 81. And so I hadn't noticed it yet, but it's just the same. It just repeats the same verse over and over. Like, literally, not even the phrasing, not even the spaces of the, you know, the punctuation. Everything's the same, but it's a different verse. And I hadn't realized that that's what they were doing yet. So I found it quite funny. And I just think if you are the longest chapter we've yet had here, and all it is the same four or five verses, which you've probably already identified. I've read them already three times over and over with just different names attached to them, which I consider to be nothing short of forced sodomy. How could God do this to us? Did he never have to read this or what? I think God ought to have to register as a sex offender just for what he's doing to us right now. We ought to be able to go on the Megan's Law website, and since God's omnipotent, he'd show up in all locations. It'd just be a cloud of, like, sexual offender of the worst kind, by the way. I want him registered as, like, type 5 of 5, of 4. He's a special type for people who put us through this garbage. And so he'll be, wherever you are, he'll be counted among the sex offenders that's in your neighborhood. And that would make me feel slightly better, but I'd still be pretty pissed about what he's put us through. One kid of the goats for sin offering. You know, I'm technically going to read this, but I'll just do what any sane person would have done. And this person offered all the exact same thing. And on the sixth day, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel, prince of the children of Gad, offered. And he offered the exact same thing. And on the seventh day, Elishama, the son of Amnud, prince of the children of Ephraim, offered. And what do you know? He offered the exact same thing. And on the eighth day, Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur, prince of the children of Manasseh, offered the exact same thing. And on the ninth day, Abidan, son of Gideoni, prince of the children of Benjamin, offered the same thing. And on the tenth day, Ahiezer, the son of Amishadi, prince of the children of Dan, offered the same thing. On the 11th day, Pagiel, he's just making up names now. These aren't even real people. They really, really needed more pages. Pagiel, the son of Ochran, prince of the children of Asher, like there's any children of Asher, offered. He offered something slightly different in that it was a different day, but it was actually the exact same thing. And on the 12th day, it's still going. Still going. I'm on verse 78. I've just gone from verse 33 to 78. That's a lot. That's the size of a long chapter and twice the size of, like, your average to shorter chapter. So that's and you realize, like, I spend, you know, a good 20 minutes at least per chapter. And I just read about two chapters worth of verses by skipping through like that in seconds. Like, that should give you an idea of the amount of waste that's going into this bullshit. This is why God gets a special sexual predator classification all to himself. Are you starting to see? Because I've had to actually read this. You shouldn't ever read this, but I've read this a couple times now. On the 12th day, Ahira, the son of Enon, prince of the children of Naphtali, did what? Quiz. I wonder if you could tell me what he did. He offered. Ha! Didn't think you were going to get that. But now there's no way. I will rest assured that there's absolutely no way that you will know what they offered. There's no way. You'd have to pick from any number of objects at random. How would you possibly guess this offering? Oh, he offered the same thing. You probably guessed it then. So 84. This is going to be great. I don't even want to, like, give away what's about to happen, so I'll just read it. This was, and okay, we're on, sorry, I gotta preface this a little bit. We're on verse 84. So that's roughly at least three times the size of a good chapter, and nothing's happened. And as, okay, as if we're not already catching on that this is just shameless, you know, page writing stuff, just get length, page lengthening stuff. Here's what they go on to write. This was the dedication of the altar in the day when it was anointed by the princes of Israel. 12 chargers of silver, 12 silver bowls, 12 spoons of gold. Each charger of silver weighing 130 shekels, because we've only mentioned that 12 times, and it's crucial information. So just in case you've forgotten, 130 shekels. Each bowl, 70. All the silver vessels weighed 2,400 shekels. Just to get a total weight after the shekel of the sanctuary. The golden spoons were... How many golden spoons do you think they had? I'll give you a guess. I'll give you a hint. There were 12 princes, and they all ordered the same thing off Amazon for the registry that was created for this tabernacle. So there were 12 golden spoons full of incense, weighing 10 shekels apiece after the shekel of the sanctuary. All the gold of the spoons was 120 shekels. All the oxen for the burnt offering were 12 bullocks. The rams, 12. The lambs of the first year, 12, with their meat offering. And the kids of the goats for sin offering, 12. And all the oxen, going on verse 88 here, all the oxen for the sacrifice for the peace offerings were 20 and 4 bullocks, the rams 60, the he-goats 60, the lambs of the first year 60. This was the dedication of the altar after that was anointed. Last verse. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him far off from the mercy seat, that was upon the Ark of Testimony, from between the two cherubims, and he spake unto him. End of that anal rape. Sorry, chapter. Chapter. Anal rape chapter. I get a hard time. Wow. That still was far and away not as bad as the tabernacle one. But, you know, if you think about it, this actually happened right after the tabernacle. Like, there's some weird anachronism going on here. I read a little bit about it, but it just wasn't even interesting enough to get into. But if you think about it, what if we had had to read this right after the tabernacle one? I might not be here today. I might have seriously just hanged myself or at least quit. Maybe both. I don't know. But that would have been pretty bad. I would have been defeated by how terrible the Bible is. I would have thrown in the towel, just tapped out, just like, you win. But luckily, that must be why they decided to space those two horrible, horrible, horrible chapters out. So let's move on to the next chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, when thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give their light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps. I think it's lit the lamps, but lighted the lamps. You know, he gave light to them in the past tense. Lighted. Therefore, over... I know the Bible's just being cutesy and thinks it has its own English that it can do. Or the King James people did. Thereover against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold. Just beat the crap out of some gold. That's how you make that. Under the shaft thereof, under the flowers thereof, was beaten work, according to the pattern which the Lord had shewed Moses. So he made the candlestick. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel, and cleanse them. They're disgusting. They're disgusting. Cleanse them. The Levites. Everybody else is pretty clean, but the Levites. Have you smelled them? Oh, God. The Lord is like, can't take it anymore. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. Sprinkle water of purifying upon them. Water of purifying, by the way, is one part water, 75 parts Clorox bleach. Just sprinkle that right on them. Don't mind the screams. And let them shave all their disgusting flesh. And let them wash their disgusting clothes, and so to make their disgusting selves clean. And then take a young bullock with his meat offering, even fine flour mingled with oil. And another young bullock shalt thou take for a sin offering. Thou shalt bring the filthy Levites before the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt gather the whole assembly of the children of Israel together. And thou shalt bring the disgusting Levites before the Lord. And the children of Israel shall put their hands, although with gloves, gloved hands, upon the terrible, gross Levites. I'm reading this word for word. This is not... is not a bit or anything. And Aaron shall offer the gross Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And the sick Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and be sure to cover the bullocks before you do this. And thou shalt offer the one for a sin offering, and the other for a burnt offering unto the Lord, and make an atonement for the disgusting Levites, and thou shalt set the Levites, disgusting though they are, before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for a poop offering unto the Lord. It says poop offering. I didn't make that up. That's a new kind of offering God invented specifically for the disgusting Levites. Ugh. I can smell them from 2,000 years away. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levites shall be mine. Oh, man. Disgusting. Again, I can see there's something to this God is so great thing, because if he's willing to take those just awful Levites. Ugh. Ah, ah, ah. And after that shall the Levites go in and do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt cleanse them finally, and offer them for an offering. Is this like a mass human sacrifice or what? For they are wholly given unto me from among the children of Israel, instead of such as every open womb, even instead of the firstborn of all the children of Israel have I taken them unto me. For all the firstborn of Israel firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. On the day that I smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified them for myself. And I have taken the Levites for all the firstborn of the children of Israel. And for probably the fifth time, but I could repeat it a million times because it's so ridiculous. Let's just look at the transaction, the details of the transaction the Lord is making here. In exchange for not murdering all the firstborn, he now owns all the firstborn. That's the deal they made. By that logic, I could own everyone in the world since I didn't murder any of them yesterday. Well, except the one guy, but he's dead, so I don't even want to own him anyway. He's dead. But I could own everybody except that one guy that I may or may not have murdered yesterday. Simply because I didn't kill them? Is that how this works? Like, but now this new transaction makes it even better. So let's assume that this initial deal was valid. Just even though it's just ridiculous, let's just assume it's valid. For some reason, you know, these people owe God their firstborn. Now, he's trading all the firstborns, which would have been, you know, evenly distributed pretty much throughout the people, and would have been a somewhat fair way of going about this, if there is such a thing. He's trading all them for the Levites, just this people that he picked. And Moses is like, "Oh, okay, yeah, sounds good. Oh, should I ask the Levites to get their permission on this?" Or God's like, "I'm the one who is owed the human slaves. I make the decisions around here. I don't know what input from them would you need. I have spoken. So go." Tell them that I own them now. Thank you. God is so great. It's such a great God. Awesome God. Best God. And I have given the Levites as a gift to Aaron. It gets better. Now he's making a third transaction. And just giving the Levites to Aaron and his sons. From among the children of Israel. To do the service of the children of Israel. In the tabernacle of the congregation. And to make an atonement for the children of Israel. That there be no pla. Huh. What's going on with my... Is this a website problem? That there be no pla. P-L. There be no pla. I'm trying to track this down. I read this from a website and it says that there be no PL. Is that a word that I don't know? Let me refresh. This is very compelling. I refresh and it still says no PLA. Bear with me. I kind of want to figure this out. This is kind of funny. I wonder if that's... Is that a word? Somebody answer me. I'm talking to you. Is that a word? Is that a word? All you have to do is answer my question. Have the decency. I talk to you. I ask you things. This is a two-person thing. And you're not even going to try. Oh, okay. I found the answer. No thanks to you, assholes. But I guess it is just cut off. It's that there be no plague among the children of Israel when the children of Israel come nigh into the sanctuary. I'm glad I tracked that down because that's it's another one of those passive aggressive things where God's saying, do this for your own good. Even though what he really means is do this so I don't kill you. Moving on from that brilliant bit of podcasting. And Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of Israel did to the Levites according to all that the Lord commanded Moses concerning the Levites, because they figured, yes, fair is fair. So did the children of Israel unto them. And the Levites were purified, finally. And they washed their disgusting clothes, and Aaron offered them as an offering before the Lord, burned them to death. Oh no, I guess not. And Aaron made them an atonement for them, made an atonement for them to cleanse them. And that was one heavy-duty atonement, because let me tell you, they needed a lot of cleansing. And after that went the Levites in to do their service in the tabernacle of the congregation before Aaron and before his sons, as the Lord had commanded Moses concerning the Levites, so did they unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this is it that belongeth unto the Levites from 25 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof, and shall serve no more. Well, that's nice, at least. Only 25 years of indentured servitude. Only probably some of the most prime 25 years of your life. I suppose that's slightly better than how we treated black slaves in our country. And that's good that we can at least expect that God will do slightly better than the worst thing our nation has ever done. That's good. It's quality God right there. But shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge, and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites, touching their charge. Just do it to them. Don't ask them. There, I made the decision. It's me. I'm God. I own you. And that's the end of that chapter. Throat's getting a little crappy. Apologize. Chapter 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying... the first month... So now it's sort of skipping around in time, like I mentioned earlier. We're in... Now they just came out of the wilderness. I swear they've already done stuff since then. But I think that... I guess what's happening is it's just like the Book of Numbers Lost style. And it's like we're going to find out all these things about Moses and the other characters via flashbacks. And they'll have all their different lives. In Egypt at the time, you know. It'll be before and after the tabernacle. Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. Moses said, well, I'm not going to stop them. I'll let them. They can, are you asking me my permission? Why are you saying let the children of Israel? Is that just some God language that you use? God says, yes. Oh, okay. In the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, ye shall keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man. Not going to name names. There were certain men that they could not keep the Passover on that day, because for some reason, if someone dies near you, you can't keep the Passover. I may never understand this dead body defilement logic, but I should probably just stop trying because it's ridiculous. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Yes, it's very important that you don't move while I do this. He has a hard time focusing, as it is, and I just don't want to make him grumpy, so stand still. Don't move. His vision's based on movement. He can't see you if you don't move. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, there's a lot of sayings here, if any man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. Moses said, oh, you were listening in when those people were asking me just that very question. That's neat, thanks. God is like, what? Listening in on what? I just thought of this possible scenario here, and I thought I'd let you know what to do in this case. And Moses is like, oh, that's coincidental. So you can't hear me all the time? Lord's like, dear Lord, no. Dear me, no. That would be horrifying. I need some time to myself. I don't want to hear the things you do. They're disgusting. I had to turn it off after a while. It was so horrible. The 14th day of the second month, at even, they shall keep it and eat it with the unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it to the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do, ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was Oh, come on, not again. Him that was bah, whatever, him that was bah, I don't care. Let me see, I can probably tell what it's going to say from him that was bah. Yeah, who cares? And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the what? Oh, gosh, sorry. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely, the tent of the testimony, and at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. And then it turned out the tabernacle actually was on fire, but everybody just assumed it was the appearance of fire, so they lost the tabernacle. No. So it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. They didn't see a connection to the fact that they actually lit the fire themselves, but it was the appearance of fire. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the Lord of Israel, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it's many days. And the notes here say that days could mean years even. So they just sat there for potentially years because there was a cloud. And I don't know about you, but I don't remember him mentioning any cloud in his rules of Passover. I think this is funny because it was probably just a couple lazy turds that were like, would wake up each morning and be like, Is that the same cloud
that was over the tabernacle the other day?
Yeah, it looks like it. It's. I remember it was definitely sort of grayish and billowy and whatnot. And I remember specifically it was a cumulus cloud. Or my name isn't whatever my name is. And then they went with it. But I don't remember the Lord mentioning anything about that. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was by day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, or 10 years, or 80 years, or 100 years, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in tents, and at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord and the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. And I think one day the Lord was probably like, I don't really remember telling you to do nothing as long as there was a cloud over the tabernacle. In fact, that it sounds sort of like nonsense, really, to me. And Moses or somebody was, No, Lord, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure you said. Are we just to assume that it's a coincidence that when you were talking about Passover, a cloud appeared overhead? God's like, well, yes, actually, that's how on earth would they be connected? When I told you earlier, like a few books ago, thou shalt not kill. And it was cloudy that day. Did you think there was some connection, or like you could only murder people when it was cloudy, or maybe when it was not cloudy? And Moses is like, no, who would think that? That is utter nonsense. I mean, come on. And the Lord's like, well, I don't really see how this is any different. I was merely mentioning Passover, the rules, and it happened to be cloudy like it is, 50% of the time or more, depending on the season. And somehow you made that connection. I'm just wondering where you got that is all. And Moses wouldn't hear any of it, so probably the Lord just gave up eventually. He's like, you know what, whatever. You don't have anything to do. Yeah, it's not, nobody's invented Atari yet, let alone, Nintendo 64, so go ahead, sit in your tents, do whatever it is you do in your tent, and I'll try not to listen. And that's the end of our boring reading. That was a little short because that one chapter was just absolutely worthless. Well, I guess it wasn't that short, but tune in next time for episode 34, where God finally dies, actually. I think. I haven't read it yet, but I'm guessing that's what's going to happen. All right, see you guys later.